Committee come to order. Today is Thursday, May 28th. We're going to jump out of order just a little bit. The first item on today's agenda is a public hearing on Senate Bill 971A. Senator Berger, please.
Members, Senate Bill 971A stipulates reimbursement of training costs between governmental agencies for public safety officers who are trained by one agency but leave within 3 years to work for another. It allows the agency that originally employed the officer to waive reimbursement. There is a pro rata reimbursement, which in your background is listed from 100% within a year to about 33% within 2 to 3 years. It covers police officers, corrections officers, and parole and probation officers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Joanne Berger, and I represent Senate District 5. Let me tell you a little bit about the background and how I even became interested in this. When the state police had to eliminate a number from their ranks, there were 6 officers in Coos Bay. And those 6 young people came to see me and to tell me how devastated they were that they were having to leave. They were the last ones in, so they were the first ones out. And they had just finished their training. And one of the arguments that they made to me, and it stuck with me very strong, was that, do you know you have $50,000 invested in every one of us? That's uniforms, training, other expenses. But to all total, they figured they had about $50,000. And I said, well, that is terrible. And they said, well, that's okay, because you know what? The state of Washington, California, and Idaho are delighted. They don't have to spend a penny on us, and we can go to work there. So when we started into the session, I was talking with Joel, who is my legislative person in my office, and we started working on Senate Bill 971, and Joel has done all of the legwork. I know that he's talked to all of you, and he's done it. The bill has changed. It was a work in progress. I think that there's still a little misunderstanding, so I'm going to try to really clarify it. Then I'll let Joel take over and answer questions and talk about the amendments. Senate Bill 971 was born out of a need to create a system of fairness when newly hired public safety officials are enticed to work for another, often higher-paying public safety agency. The state of Oregon and local governments invest precious resources in training their public safety employees. For example, according to the Department of Corrections, they invest about $22,000 to train their employees. The Kaiser Police Department invests about $28,700 in each one of their officers. So they experience turnover of these new people for a variety of reasons, some very legitimate reasons, and we recognize that. For example, a trained police officer in Portland might be offered a better paid position by Beaverton, but it would be right after the training. Then a newly trained Multnomah County Sheriff might find an opening in Umatilla County where he grew up, so he'd like to move. This bill requires agencies that entice, and I think that's the key question here, that entice new hires from other agencies, that they would reimburse that agency they hired the employee from for the training cost of that previous agency. We do have people who entice. Some of it happens at DPSST. They're in training, and they share salary schedules while they're in training. And so if there's an opening at a better-paying job, then they don't say anything. They just finish their training, and then they move. There are 4 amendments which will tighten the definition of training costs and clarify who the reimbursement requirement applies to. Some have raised the concern that this bill would create a problem of keeping someone in a position that they might not be a good fit. Sometimes when people tell you they want to leave, you're better off to let them leave. You want them to leave because staying is not a good option. So for this reason, there is a provision in Section 1, Subsection 4, that will allow the original employing agency to waive that requirement for the reimbursement. If you really want that person to go, you say to the other agency, you don't have to pay me a cent. It's worth the $22,000. You don't tell them that, but that's what you're thinking. It's worth the $22,700 to let them go. And so you can waive that. It is not fair, however, in my mind, that agencies that can hire these newly trained employees without having to invest one expense into their training, when the other agency not only has invested in that officer, but then has to turn around when that officer leaves and hire a new person and invest in their training. And so that is the motivation, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that we brought the bill. And so Joel tells us now what the four amendments.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joel Fisher, policy advisor for Senator Joanne Berger. We have the Dash 4 amendments, which tighten the definition of training costs. Originally, it said that the training costs include but are not limited to. We took out the phrase but are not limited to so that everybody will be firmly on the same page when it comes to calculating what those training costs are. The other part of the amendment clarifies that this is applying to the original employing governmental agency, that they are the one who are in charge of their reimbursement requirements, saying whether or not they're going to be pursuing it or not. And the last part just changes the word from by rule to a policy of, because counties often will have ordinances or policies but not necessarily have a rulemaking process. So just to clarify that, so that counties and cities can have their own processes for instituting this policy.
Thank you. Any questions? On the panel, Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure. I'm looking for the definition of entice.
Sorry, there's not a definition of entice. The language entice, typically when people talk about sort of the poaching that goes on, there's they're using the word that there's enticing happening, but the bill doesn't actually say whether or not somebody's enticing. It just is applying to whether or not somebody actually is being hired by a new agency within the time frame that we've laid out.
Follow up. On a follow up to that question, just so we're clear, because you did talk about the word entice, this would not be limited to employers that go out and solicit new employees. It would apply to any situation in which an employee left Agency 1 and went to Agency 2, even if there was no recruitment by Agency 2.
Correct.
Okay.
There is a certain time frame, however, if an employee leaves you, that you then would pay. For me, and you know, I hope that you agree, but fairness is a big issue with me. And I just believe things should be fair. And I think that when an agency accepts an officer who has been in their agency for a short, for another agency for a short period of time, that they should certainly pay some part of that training, because they're getting a very, very nice cut. If it costs $25 to go get trained, it would be one thing. But when it costs $22,000, or in the case of state police where they invest in these officers as much as $50,000, I think you're talking about some pretty expensive things that we don't need to give away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The events that led to the bill that you described were six officers, state police officers in Coos Bay that got laid off. There were they made a comment about going to Washington or Idaho or other states.
And they did.
Okay. So this bill doesn't do anything to avoid that. If an agency voluntarily lays off an employee and they're picked up by somebody else,
yes,
does that new employer have to pay, reimburse that agency for the training costs?
Only for employees who are voluntarily leaving. This wouldn't apply to people who are laid off.
One other question, please. If I may. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there contracts now existing between police officers and their departments that if they leave early, they have to reimburse those departments for those costs, or Are there interagency agreements made today between agencies that they agree to pay each other back?
I do not believe there are interagency agreements, but there are agencies that employ contracts, and it's sort of hit and miss. But this would lay out a framework statewide that all could be on the same page with.
I may. So today, those contracts are required of the employee to pay back their training costs?
Yeah, it would be individual to each agency how they had written them. But there are some agencies who have employed contracts that are saying if an employee leaves, some of them, I'm not really aware of exactly how they're all worded, but some of them require the employee to pay back. Some of them are just, I don't exactly know if they're requiring the employee to pay back. I don't think they can necessarily require another public agency to pay back. And we don't have something in statute that would allow agencies to pursue training costs from another agency. I think the contracts would only be applying to individuals having to reimburse those training costs.
One more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there agencies that requested this bill? Is there a city, because I know my city doesn't like the bill. Are there cities that have requested this bill or agencies that have requested this bill?
No, there is not a specific city or agency that requested this bill.
Okay, thank you.
Here, I have another question about, just to try to interpret what the language requires. On line 14 of the A engrossed bill, we're talking about employees who voluntarily leave and go to a different governmental agency, quote, in a position that requires the same training as required for the position with the original agency. My question is, what happens if you have an employee who goes from position one in a position in agency one to agency two, and the position is not exactly equivalent, but maybe a slight promotion, meaning a little bit of additional training required? How would this bill apply to that scenario?
I think that's a good question. I'm going to let Joel answer it, but they don't always move up. So I think your question is a good one. Sometimes people can go from what you'd think, like city. What I mean by up is city to county to state, and that is not always the case. So
just to be clear, what I'm getting at is I could see a scenario where if you make a purely lateral move between agencies, then this bill kicks in and the agency has to reimburse. But they could redefine the job description in a way that requires a little bit of additional training, and that means it's no longer a position that requires the same training, and therefore the bill wouldn't apply. Is that what you envision?
I suppose that the agencies could maneuver to try and manipulate it that way. I don't think that it would. For the state troopers, police, city police, and county sheriff's deputies are all getting the same amount of training when they're at the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. They're all getting 16 weeks. We had that language in there to clarify that if somebody is trained, they're trained for 16 weeks. A corrections officer is trained for 5 weeks. If a corrections officer gets hired on as a police officer somewhere else, then this would not apply. But if somebody's making a lateral move, but I suppose agencies could manipulate it. I don't know how much leeway they'd have to say that a police officer is requiring more training here or there.
Department of Corrections attended one of our meetings and said I think they had lost employees that they felt like were enticed or lured away, 68 in 5 years or something like that.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the questions about some of the details and want to listen intently to those answers and those questions. For me, what the aha moment for me was when I imagine, so imagine you have $100,000. I like the bill. I appreciate you for bringing it. Imagine you have $100,000 budgeted for a given officer, and I can make a decision of whether I'm going to spend $80,000 on, just use mythical numbers, on salary and benefits and $20,000 on training, or I could spend $100,000 on salary and benefits and $0 on training, or still the $80,000 and $20,000 on executive pay or new cars or whatever the heck I wanted to use. And without a rule like this in place, there is an incentive for a smart, enterprising, not particularly well-meaning maybe, or maybe well-meaning, hirer to choose the latter course, to invest less money in training and more money in either the enticements or into other accoutrements, and relying on other people to do the training. right, which I think provides then a disincentive to doing that training and gives us potentially less well-trained, less well-prepared officers and isn't in the service of anybody. So I don't use that. I was sort of trying to think through this bill, and it was finally when I thought of that sort of simple case that it helped me to the extent it's helpful to the record or to any other person listening, and doesn't take away from some of the detailed questions that I think are also important.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joel, I just want to follow up with a question that Representative Cameron brought up regarding the agencies that have contractual agreements right now that involves reimbursement. Is that correct that there are agencies right now that have those type of agreements or contracts that should they not fulfill their obligation of a certain time period, they have to reimburse that?
Yes, and it applies, from what I understand, it applies to the employee having to reimburse the agency, not a subsequent employing agency reimbursing that agency. That's my understanding. And this bill wouldn't necessarily override that. It says that it's subject to their whatever collective bargaining agreements they already have.
I actually would love, Mr. Chair, to find out what agencies those are.
I think probably someone other than myself would have to answer that question, representing the chief of police or sheriffs. I don't know specifics.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions?
I do believe that there are some. I'm trying to think when I was mayor of Coos Bay over the 8 years. That's interesting to me that I was going to follow up and ask Representative Cameron. I know that some of the cities have opposed this, and I think they've opposed it on things that are now out of the bill. I don't know that, but I'd love to know that, because if it's been taken out of the bill or their objection to it, having been a mayor and watching the turnover that you have with police officers, I'm just amazed that the cities would not be happy to be reimbursed for some of their training costs. So, and you're not reimbursed fully, depending on how long you've been there. I mean, if you leave 2 weeks after you've been trained, you know, then you're going to have to step up to the plate. But if you've been there, the longer you're there, the less reimbursement you have. But there should be something that's reimbursed, in my opinion. So this really came from just a fairness issue for government.
Mr.
Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. That was today, but I don't see them here to testify, so I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, we met with the cities this morning, and they haven't been overly active in opposing this bill. They have felt that it creates more of a problem than it's solving. We pointed out to them the provision in Section 1, Subsection 4 that says, for any reason, a head of a public safety agency can disregard the requirement for reimbursement, which I believe should allay all of their fears. They simply just don't have to do it if they don't want to.
It does take the teeth out of the bill, but you still have the waiver that's there. Well, Mr. Chair, my transportation chair has a lot of bills that he needs my vote on, and so unless there are other questions, I'm going to have to slip away.
Thank you for your testimony, Senator.
You're very welcome, and thank you so much, Representative Barker, for having the hearing.
You're welcome. Mr. Snyder?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, appearing this afternoon in support of Senate Bill 971. We had several discussions regarding the different iterations of this bill as it progressed through the process. First reaction from our members was, well, it sure is a problem, but how do you solve it? And other reactions came as the bill evolved. I think Mr. Fisher has been very accommodating to the issues that our folks raised. It's one of those situations where we began with the notion that it's a great idea, it's a laudable goal, but the devil's in the details. And as we went through the process and raised the issues that we did, the proponents of the bill addressed the issues that we raised as the bill went along. The major issues that we have had have been addressed with Dash A4 amendments, and so we are appearing this afternoon in support of House Bill 971.
Anything, any questions for Mr. Snyder, Representative Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul, I was just kind of curious, did your organization have any contact with the sheriffs across the state to determine whether or not their position or what where they're at on this thing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson, we have a sheriff on our public safety, actually two sheriffs on our public safety committee, which is the steering committee that addressed the issue and developed the recommendations. So they, at least those representatives of the Sheriff's Association were involved.
Two members. Two sheriffs. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 971 and open a work session on Senate Bill 971. We need the adoption of the dash fours.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash fours in Senate Bill 971.
Senate Bill 971. Is there any objection to the amendments? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 971 as amended to the floor. We do pass recommended.
Representative Wisnett moves Senate Bill 971 as amended to the floor to do pass. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, I contacted five of the agencies down in my area in the Albany and Corvallis area, and two sheriffs down there, and also, as well as a number of chiefs. But there is really a mixed bag out there. How they're feeling about this bill. And I thought it was interesting what Joel said as he was relating to the chiefs. He says, creates more of a problem than solving. Just thought.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krueger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Shields?
Excused.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
I'm not thrilled with it.
Who'd like to carry that bill?
Not me.
I think Olson would. There wasn't a lot of enthusiasm.
Is there only one no vote?
Yeah.
Quickly.
There's about four of us about that far from no.
Yeah.
Could we just vote present?
Take care of the floor.
No. You know, that was really wrong.
What was it? What?
Yeah,
I wish. I would like that. I mean, nice one.
On 309.
You should be in your office talking to you a week ahead of time.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 309.
Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on
Senate Bill 309.
Representative
Wisnett moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 309. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? If not, then the rules are suspended.
Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 309A was sent to the floor of a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Wisnett,
we didn't send it to the floor.
We only voted on the amendment, I thought.
That's right. What's going on right now?
Chairman of the committee, you can blame the freshman are here for
me. Getting a little confused at this time of session, but yesterday you did adopt the A6 amendments.
Right.
And subsequent to the meeting, I had a call from John Bradley, who was concerned that they thought that we needed more clarification. And if you look at the A7 amendments on page 8, lines 5 through 8, basically what was...
A7 amendments?
Page 8, lines 5 through 8.
Do we have
the back of the amendments, you should have the A7 amendments in your packet.
Hang on.
To take them out?
I don't have any. Okay, I do? Where? I have an A6.
You need a receipt from the amendments that we adopted. We did not send the bill to the floor, but we did adopt the amendments.
Yeah, A6.
You do?
I'm thinking about.
So we have an extra copy of the A7s. Hang on. Ah, no, that's A6.
A6 replaces the bill.
A7, there we go.
The A7 amendments will replace the A6 amendments, and the amendments do replace the bill. Well, we need to adopt the A7 amendments.
Yeah.
Okay. Then supersede the...
Okay. We're going to talk about what they all do.
We can do that. Sure.
Yes. Whatever
the chair would like.
If you're replacing the whole bill, I don't know what else happened.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the bill as it originally came to you was in two parts. The first part related to hearsay, and that was the situation where a defendant makes a statement to a interpreter who then interprets the statement and then gives the information to the police officer. He comes to court, the interpreter is no longer available. The bill as originally drafted would have allowed that statement in. We have removed that from the bill at the suggestion of all the parties involved because the amendments had ramifications beyond those factual situations because it amended the hearsay rule. The second part of the bill is that part of the bill that relates to electronic recordation of statements made to a police officer at a certain specific times. If the interview is conducted in connection with an investigation to aggravated murder or basically a Measure 11 crime, it then sets forth when it does not apply in subsection 2 of section 1, chair members of the committee. It also defines what is a law enforcement facility. It has to be conducted in a law enforcement facility, which means a courthouse, building, or premise that is a place of operation for municipal police departments, county sheriff's office, or other law enforcement agency which a person may be detained in connection with a juvenile delinquency petition or criminal charge. It does not apply to statements made out in the street. It does not apply to statements made within a police cruiser. Okay, Mr. Chairman of the committee. What it also does, it amends ORS 165-540, starting at page 4. And what it basically does, it allows one-party recordation, which is a change. So the police department is not obliged to inform the defendant or the witness, whatever, the suspect, that their statement is being recorded. That's a change of current practice in law. The other issue going on to page 7 of the bill is the applicability provision of the various sections. Section 1 of Section 3. The Act applies to custodial interviews conducted on or after July 1, 2010 if the person interviewed is a minor who is subsequently charged with aggravated murder or Measure 11 crime. Non-native English speakers who requires the services of a translator or interpreter is subsequently charged with aggravated murder or a Measure 11 crime. C, subsequently charged with aggravated murder, aggravated homicide by... And then it goes on to a statement here that's murder, aggravated murder cases. On page 8, except as provided in subsection 1 to section 1 of this 2009 Act applies to custodial interviews of persons subsequently charged with aggravated murder or crime listed ORS 130, Measure 11, again, conducted after July 1, 2011. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the language on page 8 on lines 5 through 8 is slightly different than the language that was in the Dash 6 amendments in that it clarifies that it applies to interviews of persons subsequently charged with aggravated murder or a crime listed in Measure 11. It was, that language was not in there before. It was assumed that that's how it would be interpreted. John Bradley, the senior deputy from Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, preferred that that be stated specifically rather than leave it to the courts to assume that.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wissman.
I move that we rescind the dash sixes from Senate Bill 309.
Okay, Representative Wissnett moves that we rescind the dash sixes from Senate Bill 309. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair.
Representative Wissnett.
I move the dash sevens in the Senate Bill 309.
Representative Wissnett moves the dash sevens in the 309, Senate Bill 309. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair.
Representative Wissnett.
Senate Bill 309 is amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wissnett moves Senate Bill 309 as amended to the floor of the due pass. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Who would like to carry that bill? Okay. Representative Olson, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Phew.
I just want to say Bill Cabrini. Okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 274A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 274 was the bill that you heard on May 20th that modifies the statute governing the Office of Administrative Hearings. We had at that time in front of us the A7 amendment. Since then, we've had the subsequent referral, the Ways and Means removed.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Council, can you repeat that regarding the subsequent referral?
We've had the subsequent referral removed by the Speaker's office.
Chair.
Representative Wissnett.
I move Senate Bill 274 is amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wissnett moves
Senate Bill 274 in the bill.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wissnett.
I move the dash sevens in the Senate Bill 274.
Representative Wissnett moves the dash sevens in the Senate Bill 274. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 274 to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wissnett moves Senate Bill 274 to the floor with the due pass.
As amended.
Is there any further discussion? We're going to do a roll call on this.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
Roll call, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Excuse.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Ziegler?
No.
Vice Chair
Whitman?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye.
Motion carries. Representative Garrett, please. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 728A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 728A, we heard on May 26th. That is the bill that requires the State Board of Pharmacy to reclassify marijuana and meth and amphetamine and also increase the penalty for a person who delivers a Schedule 4 controlled substance if the substance plays a substantial role in the death of a person. It has an A5 amendment that we're considering today. That allows methamphetamine to be a Schedule 2 and Schedule 1 drug and the Schedule 2 drug for the acceptable medical uses of that drug. This has had the subsequent referral to Ways and Means also rescinded for either the amendment or the bill as is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did we already put the dash 4s in?
I don't believe we did. No, we did not pass the last dash 8-4. We didn't pass any amendments on 720.
We have it written down, so we can.
Hey, Mr. Chair. Can we move dash 4s and dash 5s into 6?
I believe Mr. Chair did not want to move the 4s.
The dash 4, for discussion purposes, the dash 4s had the mandatory minimum sense, and that would run the fiscal up there already. There's already penalties available in 5 and 10 years. So.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash 5s into Senate Bill 728.
Representative Wissnett moves the dash 5s into Senate Bill 728. Is there any discussion, any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And before you go on, Ms. Meyer, the dash 5s did not correct the problem. Okay, could you come up, please, and just briefly?
Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I'm only here...
If I understand correctly, this would be
And I was just hoping that there might be some other means of correcting language that I think will be very confusing for the end users of the statute. If you look at the bill on the A and Gross on page 2, line 24, it talks about a person who manufactures or delivers a controlled substance in Schedule 4 and who thereby causes death to any person is guilty of a Class C felony. What I think is confusing to the end user of the statute, is this a freestanding homicide bill? Does it create a freestanding homicide crime? Or is it intending to simply classify the level of some other reckless or criminally negligent homicide? I think it's very confusing. And if there were some other route this bill might go, then perhaps we could work on that language some other way.
I understand that concern. I thought that in discussions with Legislative Council, and now Shannon Seville, the other council's here, and she probably knows better than I do about this, but I thought there's mental states that you have in that are implied in these kind of statutes.
Well, thank you. Chair Barker and Legislative Council, Judiciary Council, we have a criminally negligent homicide statute that picks up the mens rea of criminal negligence. We have manslaughter in the second degree that picks up recklessness. But those are expressed mens rea in those homicide statutes. What I can't tell is whether you could possibly read this as simply saying it's a strict liability homicide. And I don't think that's the intent, but I do think the language needs to be expressly clear.
Just as a procedural matter, we will need to go to the Senate side for concurrence, and that this issue could be brought up in conference committee since this is the last day, and just as an alternative to going to Ways and Means.
And I do apologize to everyone. Right. This was a gut and stuff at the other end, right. And so it just sort of happened, and I didn't see it.
We will do that. It would be my intention to go ahead and move it out and for them to do it.
Mr. Chair, since Mrs. Myers is there, we didn't talk about this, but, you know, pseudoephedrine is now a controlled substance. You buy off the used to be the drugstore. Does that play into this at all? I mean, could that be read to say that if you're selling, that would not be a complaint?
Well, this would require manufacturing or delivery.
That's unlawful manufacturing. Yeah. Delivery. So if you're prescribing it, it's not unlawful.
But if I go get.
If somebody gives,
if I go to Vancouver and get,
I don't know if Gary Schnabel from the.
We looked at this the other day.
Yeah.
I believe the statute is written in such a way that if you are lawfully selling or prescribing or dispensing a drug, this just doesn't apply to you.
Right.
So,
I think that you're saying that somebody else gets it and then gives it to someone, which is the reason for the bill. I mean, that's what happened. So, but I don't know what pseudoephedrine. I don't know if it's a Schedule 4.
I understand that people are to get around the Oregon thing are going to Washington and buying pseudoephedrine off the shelf.
And so Gene goes and buys a pseudoephedrine, and I say, Gene, I have a cold, and give me one, and I go.
And you have an allergy, and you die. You go to jail.
And it's a Schedule 4, yeah.
And that is exactly the reason for the bill, and that's the Senator Perriola's concern, and that's where the bill came from.
Okay.
Well, it's slightly different than that, but we'll
it was OxyContin.
Yeah.
Last day.
Yeah,
all falls apart.
Perriola wants you in jail.
Yeah. I will talk with Floyd about this so we get that clarified.
Thank you. Sure. Mr. Chair.
Where is that? What's that?
I move Senate Bill 728 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Senate Bill 728 as amended to the floor of a due pass. Discussion, Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to make clear for purposes of legislative history that it is my intent, and I believe this committee's intent, that this does not create a strict liability offense, that, as in other crimes, that some mens rea is implicit.
Thank you for that. And when it goes to the other side, we'll speak with the chair over there as well. Okay, we have a motion to move Senate Bill 728 to the floor to do pass.
As amended.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
I think it's got a problem.
Okay. And so we request.
Yeah.
So did it get moved to the floor or moved to the conference? No.
We went to the floor, but it will go to the Senate. We'll go to
concurrence.
And I will let you know of your concerns.
Yeah.
We'll get
it. Yeah. We'll do a conference. We can fix it in a conference meeting.
That'll be fine. If it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Chair, we need a carrier on that.
I can carry that. That'd be fine.
You're going to be a busy boy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll get it fixed. Yeah. Good. Thank you for
thank
bringing
you for
that up.
Calling it to the table there.
Okay. So we go back up to 874.
Sure.
Consideration and work session on Senate Bill 874A.
Senate Bill 874A passed out of committee either yesterday or on the 26th. We have a conflict amendment. The conflict amendment has been drafted so that if Senate Bill 58 passes, Senate Bill 874 and 58 won't conflict with each other, and it looks like the major conflict was the use of the term a person versus the use of the term an individual. An individual.
Okay.
What we need to rescind the... Let me take a look and see which one we had. We need to rescind the A2s and then adopt the A3s and then suspend the rules for lack of fiscal revenue.
Okay. And what was the date on the A2s? When did we do that?
I think it passed out on the 22nd. Mr. O'Coolidge is here. He might remember which day it passed out of committee initially.
We rescind the A2s.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I move we reconsider the vote by which the A2 amendments dated 22 May were adopted.
Representative Wisnett moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the A2 amendments dated
22 May.
Is there any discussion?
Chair, I move to adopt the which amendments? A3 amendments and the Senate Bill 874.
Representative Wisnett moves the A7 amendments into Senate Bill
87.
A3. Do we have to rescind the A3s?
Into Senate Bill 874. Is there further discussion? If there's not. Amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 874 as amended to the floor, but do pass. I got to suspend the rules.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Who can suspend that one? I have to move it. I move we suspend the rules reconsider this bill and move it to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett moves to suspend...
Without a physical.
Moves to suspend the rules to move Senate Bill 874 as amended to the floor without physical. Is there objection?
No.
Hearing none, so ordered. Now, here we go.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 874 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett moves Senate Bill 874 as amended to the floor without...
You're sure?
We are. Is there any objection?
Someone is going to come down here.
Yes.
There's objection. Okay.
Call his cell phone.
She's already loading up.
Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
No.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
No.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shields.
Excused.
Representative Smith.
This way. Discrimination.
Aye.
Vice
Chair
Disabilities.
Keeper.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries.
Disabled.
You have a carrier?
I was going to say that I'm there unless you can take me off.
Okay, so let me move
just down. Make sure I know what the heck I'm talking about when the time comes.
That's just ready to go. Mm-hmm. Okay, opening work session on Senate Bill 310A.
Senate Bill 310A requires law enforcement agency in an aggravated murder, manslaughter 1 and 2, criminal homicide, aggravated vehicular homicide, and sex crimes to preserve the biological evidence with an amount sufficient to develop the DNA profile effective upon passage, and it sunsets in 2012. We have no revenue, minimal fiscal.
And we had testimony on about this the other day, so it's ready to go.
310?
310.
Got amendments?
Nope, ready to go.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnant.
I move Senate Bill 310 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 310 to the floor of the due pass as amended. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Carrier on that. Who's going to carry it? Somebody was interested in that earlier.
What was this?
Shields was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shields was.
Well, sure was Chip. He had a particular interest in it, as I recall.
I want to be sure he's not opposed to that.
by particular interest.
Yeah, you can put me down as a carrier in that until I don't want to. I stuck him with one the other day is enough for a
I'll
while.
I'll carry it if you want.
If you want to carry it, that'd be fine. Art Representative Garrett.
What is that known?
310.
Oh, okay. Open a work session on Senate Bill 603A.
603A clarifies the definition of readily accessible for purposes of an unlawful possession of a firearm, clarifies that a person may transport a firearm in a vehicle that does not have a trunk so long as the firearm is in a locked box, provides it as an affirmative defense to a charge of violating 166-250 if a person has a granted relief under 166-274. And a committee amendment, the A4, changed the current measure by providing that if the firearm was in a locked center console or glove box, that would be sufficient as well. We have no fiscal and no revenue impact.
And as a reminder, this does not apply to people with concealed handgun license.
Yeah.
This is for people transporting their guns.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash boards in Senate Bill 603.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill
dash fours
into Senate Bill 603. Is there any objection to the amendment that's being adopted? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 603 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves Senate Bill 603 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. And would you like to carry that one, please? Representative Krieger. Thank you.
That's it.
Okay.
There was something in there that...
No further business to come before the committee today. Good job. Adjourned.
Whoa.